Our scripture reading for today is one that's typically not found in summertime. It's more of a Holy Week kind of thing, but I felt like it was appropriate for our words, our thoughts today. And we're going to be looking at the idea of prayer. And so I wanted to look at a time where Jesus prayed. It's going to be out of Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. And then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." And then he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray, so that you may not come into the time of trial. But the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time, and he prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came, and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Our words today are brief, but I believe are desperately important, as prayer is the centerpiece of who we are as a church. And yet I feel like it's one of the most misunderstood things that we do. And so I thought it would be appropriate in our series. This is the second to last in our Why series. We've been looking at why kids and why do we give and why do we do all of the things that we do? Why do we act in community together? Today is about why pray. And I think for some of you that might be a strange question. What does he mean, why pray? Because certainly prayer is what we do, right? That's what the church does. We pray. But yet as we begin with this somewhat distressing story of Jesus' life. Jesus, who you would think would pray and get whatever Jesus would want to get, goes before God, throws himself down, and says, "Please, let this cup pass from me." I know as a father, I've had my children plead with me for things. Nothing breaks your heart than when your child is afraid or when your child is hurting. Nothing gets to the very core of you more than that. And God, as the Father of Jesus, I'm sure is listening to this prayer as his child is pleading, "Please don't make me do this." But Jesus says, of course, "But not as I will, but as you would." It's distressing because we find that Jesus, of all people, finds an unanswered prayer. In fact, the prayer goes so unanswered, you know the next part of the story. Jesus says right here, "My betrayer has come." And as the story progresses, the betrayer is Judas, one of his closest companions, who has led soldiers to arrest Jesus. They take him to trial. And he's crucified. And thinking about the words, the prayer of Gethsemane makes Jesus' words on the cross that much more poignant as Jesus is hanging from the cross and says, "My God, why have you forsaken me. You ever prayed hard for something and then felt the way that Jesus felt on the cross? Why are you not listening to me? Why can't you hear me? Why aren't you acting? You said that you love me. I heard from a child that you are powerful and that you answer prayer. My God, why have you forsaken me? I think every single one of us has felt like that at one point in our walk with Christ. To say I have prayed for something and I believe that my prayer is righteous and is good and God has invited me to pray. In fact, God has said whatever I pray that he will answer my prayer. But yet, what I prayed for simply didn't happen. In fact, everything went terribly, terribly wrong. For those of us who experience that, sometimes it goes one of two negative ways. Either we are angry with God. Yes, God could have answered my prayer, and God chose not to answer my prayer. And now I am angry with God. As a pastor, I have dealt with a lot of people angry with God. And I always begin with, you are not the only one who has been angry with God. So have I. Either that, or what I think is more common, we begin to adjust how we think about prayer. We adjust our belief in prayer to where our prayers become not so passionate anymore, not so filled with faith, but we almost do it as a religious duty, something, a box that we tick off. Because our experience has shown maybe prayer is not all that reliable. I remember that experience most poignant when my father was sick. It was January 1981 when we found out that my father had cancer. And it had progressed rapidly. See, in the 1980s, cancer was not something that there were a lot of treatments for. When you had cancer, it was a death sentence. Now, it is just as terrifying as it was then, but there are so many more treatments and options, and we have done so much work. But back then, it was terrifying. He found out in January, and by April, he was gone. My father, and I'm always hesitant to say this, my father was a minister. You know, some people say, oh, you followed in your father's footsteps. Not on purpose. I did everything I could to resist doing this. My father was a minister, and he loved it. He was a good man, man of God. He had many, many friends in the Christian community where we grew up in St. Louis. He was one of those itinerant preachers, like would fill pulpits or would do things. So he was actually at multiple churches all around the St. Louis area, and there were lots of churches that loved him and supported him. And when they found out he was sick, lots of churches that went to prayer. After all, this was a man who had a young wife, only married a short amount of time. My mother and my father were married about 9 years at the time. Two young kids, one very special. The sole breadwinner of his family. And of course, this was a prayer that God would answer, right? This was an opportunity for God to flex God's muscles and to show that he has this healing power and can answer prayer. And I would almost venture to guess that the entire city of St. Louis was in prayer for my father's healing. He didn't last 3 months. And so you ask the question, what happened there? Could God have saved my father? Our belief says yes, God absolutely could have saved my father. Then did God choose to let my father die? The answer to that is yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I don't live in the belief that God took my father. Cancer took my father. But was the prayer ignored? It took me a lot of years to realize, and a lot of theological searching and heart searching, to come to that belief that no, my prayer was not ignored. The prayers of all those people were not ignored. because that prayer allowed us to experience God's grace in a unique way. As people were praying for one particular thing, God's grace was still acting on behalf of my family. We were about to experience something tragic. No young wife should have to bury her husband. No children should have to grow up without their father. But my family did, and yet the grace of God that was moving through our lives was powerful. I got to move in with my grandparents, which, again, feels like a loss. You lose your family home because my father was the sole breadwinner. Actually had one more day to be able to receive full retirement and medical benefits from the work for the U.S. Postal Service. One day short. And you think, what kind of God does that? If at least he would allow him to work one more day so that his family could keep the family home and not have to sell it and move. But I got to move in with my grandparents and found a man to raise me. My grandfather taught me everything it was to be a man. My aunts and uncles and cousins surrounded our family because they were all fairly local. And I got a new family and a new depth and new opportunities. Everything in my life, all the graces of my life, I can point to the grace that happened when I lost my father. Do I wish that I had my father back? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I have to realize that what prayer did in that moment didn't save my father, but it saved us. The grace of God. Prayer put us in sync with the heart of God, where we found strength and compassion, love and wisdom. I was reminded of a quote by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, if you haven't ever seen the movie The Shadowlands, I want to highly recommend sometime finding the movie The Shadowlands. Stars Anthony Hopkins, so it's a good time, you know, for all. Anthony Hopkins. But it's on the life of C.S. Lewis, and specifically around his experience of falling in love with a woman named Joy, and then subsequently also losing her to cancer. Caused him to write a book, if you've ever read the book A Grief Observed. That's what that book is all about. It's about finally opening his heart to love and then losing that love and the experience of going to God and praying for God to heal this woman. After all, he just found this woman and just fell in love and just gotten married, and here she is dying. A friend of his came up to him, and when she was starting to be in remission and starting to feel a little bit better, a friend came and said, God is answering your prayer. And Lewis replied, I pray not so God will answer me. I pray because I cannot help myself. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time. Because prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes me. In Philippians, Paul writes and says, don't be anxious for anything, but in prayer, in all kinds of prayer, bring your request to God. And what Paul doesn't say in the next sentence, he doesn't say, don't be anxious for anything, bring your request to God, and God's going to do everything you want God to do. He doesn't say that. He says, don't be anxious for anything, pray, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. In other words, we pray not so that we can get our way, but we can pray so that the heart of God can reside in our heart, so that we can be ready for the will of God to flow into our story, into the narrative that we have. We pray. We pray to ready ourselves for what God wants to do in our life, which sometimes matches up with the things that we want, and sometimes it doesn't. But it's always good. Because it's not about getting our way. I don't know if you ever saw the Jim Carrey movie, Bruce Almighty, where Jim Carrey, such a scary thought I'm about to say, Jim Carrey gets the powers of God for a short amount of time. And it's a wonderful movie about this process of faith and what faith means. Also another film I would recommend. At one point, Jim Carrey is now given the power to hear and answer prayer. And he believes that he could do it a little bit better than God, because Jim Carrey, this character's life, Bruce, is not getting his way. In fact, it seems like every time that he prays, something worse happens. Again, maybe you know that feeling. So God says, fine, go ahead. You can answer prayer. You can answer it any way that you want. Bruce is starting to figure out, like, all these prayers in my head. I got to figure out a way so that I can see all these prayers, and goes, email. I come up with this idea of email. So all the prayers come in email so that he can look at them. Of course, there's millions of them, too much for him to deal with. And finally just says, fine, I will just hit yes to all, and goes to bed. As you can imagine, wakes up the next day to a world in disaster. Because if our wants and our needs, though true as they are, don't match up with the will of God and the way that the world works in sync in the heart of God, in the heart of grace, the things we pray for can turn out to be a mess, can't they? You ever thank God for unanswered prayer? Where you go, oh, I'm so glad I didn't get that thing I prayed for, because my life would be way different. Can we, in faith, thank God for any outcome because we trust God? Can we find joy when life doesn't go our way? So then the question is, well, what is prayer? Prayer is an act of faith that connects us to God's heart so that we can be experiencing God's grace. That is why we pray. Isn't that found in the Lord's Prayer we just prayed? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How else do we as a church know the way to go? If we don't seek the face of God, we may end up just being a religious institution where you come in and hear nice music or hear some sermons or see some people that you know and feel like you've done your religious thing, and then find ourselves slowly dying. Shrinking numbers, shrinking giving. But see, the prayer that we pray isn't that more people come to church or that giving increases, that our budget gets a little fatter. It's not. What we pray, that's just stuff. That happens elsewhere. The prayer that we pray is, God, with the resources that we have at our disposal, where would you have us go? How can we reflect your heart in this community, in this world, in this space, in this time where we find ourselves and the resources that we have? God, what are you calling us to do? It might be some things we don't want to do. It might be stopping some things that we have liked for decades and starting some things that make us feel uncomfortable. But God has provided the resources for us to do what God is calling us to do, and we cannot find it unless we pray. Prayer is vital to us individually, and prayer is vital to us as a community. You heard Jesus inviting his friends to pray with him. He was upset with them because they kept falling asleep, and the reason he was upset with them might be he wouldn't want to do this by himself. But I think he also understood the vitality of prayer, that if we just move along and we don't seek the face of God passionately with all of our hearts, that the temptation that we fall into is just missing grace. And we can look and it says church on the outside or Christian on our chest. But without prayer, without active seeking the face of God, we will miss God altogether. Thy will be done. Amen.